Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth.com/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Hello, America, and happy Monday. We got a great show for you today. Later this week, the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Civil Liberties is going to hold a hearing. Congressman Andy Biggs, the chairman of that subcommittee, he's going to run this hearing. And it's going to look at the over-criminalization of activity in America. All of the regulatory and legal things that have made activities that used to be protected by free speech or by political dissent are now being prosecuted and weaponized. It's a really big picture. We talk about the weaponization of government. We talk about the Trump prosecutions. We talk about the FISA abuses. But another element of this is the continued building of a statutory and regulatory regime that tries to outlaw more and more things that our founding fathers almost certainly didn't intend to be outlawed in America, not in a place that had free speech and liberty. This is one of the most important hearings that we're going to see in Congress this year. And we're going to kick the show off today with the man who's running that hearing, who came up with the idea, Congressman Andy Biggs from the great state of Arizona, the chairman of the subcommittee. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more. Will Mike Johnson be thrown out by Marjorie Taylor Greene, or is Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate losing steam? We're going to find out about that. We'll also talk about the congressman's recent border trip. He was there. He actually interviewed some of the illegal aliens coming in. A congressman out interviewing the illegal aliens. You learn a lot from those interactions. We saw them on Twitter over the weekend. I want to make sure you get a good piece of that information. Then, in the second block, the first major lawsuit against President Biden's Title IX regulatory changes. These are changes that are going to allow men into women's locker room, potentially lead to the expulsion or punishment of students and parents who don't use preferred pronouns for transgender students. These changes, which are going to take effect August 1st, are gaining enormous pushback in this state. And today, the state of Louisiana, one of those states that have always been on the leading edge of fighting the Biden regulatory regime, the expansions, they filed a lawsuit challenging these Title IX changes that were going to put women and girls at danger in their locker rooms and their sports games. Liz Merle, the attorney general from Louisiana, she succeeded our good friend Jeff Landry, who's now the governor of Louisiana. What a 1-2 punch in Louisiana. Jeff Landry, Liz Merle. Well, the attorney general will be here. She'll describe the lawsuit, what it's going to try to do, what it hopefully will achieve, what the arguments are, what the counter arguments are. We'll get all that in the second block of the show today. We got a really good lineup. I'm really super excited for that. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement. in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Folks, we're sponsored today by Donors Trust, the tax-friendly way to preserve your charitable giving. In times of crisis, those with a giving spirit and a desire to build up civil society find ways to be helpful. And that's when it's good to have a charitable resource ready to deploy when they're needed most. Donors Trust offers donor advised funds or giving accounts. You can use these funds as your own charitable investment account and manage your charitable giving in a way that's smart, tax advantaged, aligned with your values, and private. Donors Trust clients are using their funds to support charities helping their local communities while also using their giving account to simultaneously support think tanks and liberty-minded organizations that believe our constitutional rights shouldn't get lost in a time of emergency. Now is the time to take a closer look at Donors Trust and join their community of liberty-minded donors by opening a donor advised fund. Go to donorstrust.org/justnews for the ultimate survival guide to charitable giving and learn how a donor advised fund can preserve your ability to give to the charities you love. That's donorstrust.org/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. There's a lot of other headlines going on today. It's a busy news day. We've got some big exclusive reporting we're going to drop on America later this week involving the FBI and other things. But in the meantime, I want to point out a poll that came out this weekend. A couple polls. One of the polls clearly showed that Joe Biden is at the lowest rating of any modern president since polling began, even lower than Nixon, even lower than Jimmy Carter. 38.7% average job approval rating during his 13th quarter in office. This is the Gallup poll. So Gallup, one of the most longest serving political polling units in America. By the way, it's the lowest of any president since Dwight D. Eisenhower when modern polling began. George H.W. Bush had the previous low 13th quarter approval rating at 41.8%. Well, give credit to Joe Biden. He beat that by 3 points. He's at 38.7%. Meanwhile, just to give you a sense, President Trump's approval rating keeps going up. In the same period, he was at 46.8% in his presidency. There are other polls that have President Biden even lower. Quinnipiac University poll last month. I don't know, last week. It was last week. Adam at 35%. Again, the low in that poll as well. Those are pretty devastating numbers when you take a look at them. And a lot of people, I think, understand why. I think when they go to the grocery store, when they go to the gas station, when they go into the inner city, when they go to a location where illegal aliens or homeless people have rousted a neighborhood in some way, there's a lot there. Now, there's a second poll that I think is just as important. It's the CNN poll this weekend. And again, the horse race numbers aren't going to matter that much yet because we're 6-7 months out. 49% of Americans say they support Trump. 43% say they say Biden. That's a 6-point lead. And when you threw in the third party candidates who tend to lean liberal, Green Party, Jill Stein, Independent Cornel West, Bobby Kennedy, Trump's lead widens from 6% to 9%. Donald Trump in a commanding lead in the horse race polls. But the real issues for this poll are how people view Biden versus Trump on their records, on their policies. Overall, 40% approve of Biden, 60% disapprove in the CNN poll. That's a bad number. But he's 54% disapproval on healthcare, 55% disapproval on student loan debt, something that a lot of people thought he was going to win on. Only a 34% approval rate on economic issues versus a 66% disapproval. So on the economy, this is going to be a pocketbook election, not good for Joe Biden. And then when you compare the two presidents together, people were asked, how would you define the Trump presidency versus the Biden presidency? Trump presidency, 54% of respondents said his time in office was a success, 44% found it a failure. So a good strong majority, almost 10-point majority on that. But when it came to Biden, Biden has 57% of Americans believe his tenure has been a failure. Only 41% said his tenure was a success. So 57% view Joe Biden as a failure. 55% viewed Trump's presidency as a success. That sets up that classic Ronald Reagan 1980 argument. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? These numbers in the CNN poll suggest very strongly not the case. So we'll have a lot there. Another good story that I'd like folks to check out on the Just the News site. Arizona's Secretary of State in Maricopa County have been working together with nonprofits and social media platforms to highlight, flag, censor information about the election in 2024 that they can seem to be misinformation or disinformation. That's pretty remarkable. In fact, the documents show that one of the local officials in Arizona called the First Amendment a thorn in the side, meaning it's a hindrance. It was supposed to be a hindrance. That's why the Founding Fathers put it as the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights, right? But just think of the mindset that you see here. Very important documents from my good friend and colleague, Natalia Mittelstadt. Go check that story out. That one's trending on the site today. Also, another one that's very important, the total cost of these anti-Israel protests in terms of destruction of property. College campuses being destroyed, millions of dollars in property damage already. And remember, some of the private donors whose money might ultimately help cover those costs, they're bailing out on these universities because of the hatred that's so on display in these campuses and the inability of the administrators to quash hateful conduct that is intimidating Jewish students from going to class. You have students yelling, "I am Hamas." Well, that's great. Well, you're a terrorist. Congratulations for pronouncing that. Others are saying October 7th times 10,000. Like, we'd like to make it 10,000 times worse than the original October 7th. That means 10,000 more women being raped, 10,000 more people being killed. What sort of person chants that? Well, these college students that are part of this protest. Take a look at the damage and the conundrum that these universities find. They're going to lose money, and they're going to spend money to fix the damage that these knucklehead protesters, these hateful protesters, have done already. And I also encourage you to look at some of the video footage we put up. These are not peaceful protests. These are not anti-war protests. These are protests driven of a message of hate, driven by a message of wanting to intimidate Jewish students and to annihilate the Israeli state. The media has to stop sugarcoating these for what they are. They're not war protests. They're much bigger and much more hateful, much more civil liberty threatening than an anti-war protest. So check all that out today. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break in a second. When we come back, we're going to start off with Andy Biggs. He's got a lot to talk about the Ukraine aid package. Over the weekend, Zelensky was overheard or gave a speech saying, "I'm working with the Biden administration for a 10-year funding package on top of the $60 billion he just got." What are we, treating them as another state, another annex of the United States? We'll ask our good friend Andy Biggs about that in just a second. A lot of people are worried about how much money is flowing there, and I understand why now. I think it makes some sense. All right, before we go to commercial break, just a quick shout-out. We've got so many great partners in the Just the News, John Solomon Reports family. One of them, my good friends at the Wellness Company. Yes, Dr. Peter McCullough. So many great folks there. They're transforming medicine. They're shaking up the status quo. They're challenging the norms of the medicine profession, the public health profession, the one that let us down so much during the pandemic of 2020, 21, 2022, right? How are they doing that? Well, they're making telemedicine services available, getting prescriptions to you in advance so that if you need a prescription in an emergency and there's a shortage of drugs or a doctor unwilling to get it for you, you'll have it already in your cabinet. That is a great idea. The Wellness Company is the gold standard for these emergency kits when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. This medical emergency kit, which I encourage you to go take a look at, contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak, the antibiotic. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications. Now, for our listeners, for folks here in the John Solomon Reports or Just the News family, the Wellness Company is going to give you 10% off your first order with a promo code JustNews at www.twc.health/JustNews. So www.twc.health/JustNews. Then use the promo code JustNews at checkout. Now, rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe from whatever Global throw at you, whatever. The world throws at you, whatever nature throws at you. Remember to get 10% off. Just use the promo code JUSTNEWS at www.twc.health/JUSTNEWS. That's the wellness company's website. All right, folks, we'll take that commercial break. Andy Biggs right after these messages. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold. Or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. All right, folks, as we draw near to another critical election, it's not only about casting your vote, it's about elevating your voice, making your voice be heard. AMAC is more than just a senior discount organization. They unite like-minded patriots like you and I, committed to preserving our cherished values and actively opposing the leftist agenda that's sweeping across America. Just look at their recent victories. AMAC members helped to push forward an investigation into practices that inflate drug prices. They successfully defeated ranked choice voting in order to protect traditional voting methods, and they also helped block a federal takeover of elections. As AMAC's membership grows, Washington is listening. Every new member strengthens this movement. If you love America, visit AMAC, amac.us/justnews to become a four-year member for just $30. That's a great discount. AMAC is not only better for America, it's better for you. Membership gives you access to the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare guidance, money-saving discounts, trusted news, sweepstakes, and so much more. It's a community, not a service. Take advantage of our election year sale. 4 years for just $30 at AMAC. By joining over 2 million Americans, they can't ignore your voice in Washington anymore. Join now at AMAC, amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. A lot of big, important investigative work going on in Congress, particularly related to the weaponization and criminalization of what are often just plain old-fashioned political disputes, things we never settled in the courts until the Joe Biden presidency began to unleash the power of government and law enforcement to settle political scores. Our next guest has been at the forefront of fighting this, highlighting it, investigating it, calling it for what it is. He is Congressman Andy Biggs from the great state of Arizona, and he joins us right now. Congressman, great to have you back on the show.
John, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
We love having you on because we get lots of information. There's a big, big hearing coming up this week, I believe, in the House. The over-criminalization, the misuse of criminal statutes. You see it in January 6th. We see it in the New York case. This is an important moment where Congress is really digging down deep, right?
Yeah, this is. I'm chairing the subcommittee on crime and government surveillance. And you know, John, a lot of people don't realize it, but that we've criminalized so many activities in this country that it's been estimated that the average American violates three federal criminal offenses every day without even realizing it.
That's amazing. I mean, that's mind-numbing.
Yeah, it's mind-numbing. So there's more than 5,000. A lot of people don't realize that some of these are created through regulations and rules, not even through Congress itself. So Congress has wrongfully delegated authority to these agencies. They will create regulations and rules which will criminalize conduct, making them felonies in some occasions. I mean, and they're just the weirdest stuff you've ever seen. I mean, zebras, all right? So it's a federal crime to try to sell a quarantined zebra while the zebra is still in quarantine, right? I mean, this is the type of absurd thing. And then on the other end of the scope, You've got all these paper regulations for, like, say, a federal firearms dealer. So it's time to start cleaning this up and start recognizing that the framers of the Constitution said, look, the states are the ones that have the most power and authority on these things because they're closer to the people. And the feds are only supposed to actually get involved if it is an interstate issue, right? If there's something that was put into interstate commerce and interstate, it's crossing state lines, that becomes something very different.
Yeah, it's just remarkable the how this has been weaponized and also just become so, the government can find something at any point to find something to stick on someone even spitting on the sidewalk now. And I think it's created this enormous distrust among the American people about whether law enforcement is doing the job that needs to be done or they're doing the job that political forces want to be done. What do you think the top line message when people watch this hearing, they hear the testimony, they see what you've unraveled, what do you think most Americans will take away from it?
I think they'll take away that the government is too big and is being abusive to the average American. And so it's time to actually start peeling this stuff back. I think we all know that the government's been weaponized, and I think that the American people, this is going to further solidify that mistrust, that cynicism that they have with the federal government. But I hope that they also take out a way that there are those of us in Congress that are actually trying to get in there and strip away some of this authority that the federal government takes. Everything from the banking laws where Bank of America and all these other institutions were actually providing information to the FBI about people who just happened to mention the word MAGA or were shopping at a Cabela's Sporting Goods. I mean, it's weaponized. Every institution is weaponized, but I want the people to know that we're trying to decriminalize and get rid of some of this stuff so that we can be restored to this notion of freedom. I mean, that's what I hope is the takeaway.
Yeah, that's it. All of these over-criminalizations are infringing on freedom. We've seen it with the abortion protesters. We've seen it with J6. Obviously, an epic case pending before the Supreme Court on that obstruction charge. And it seemed like the justices had a lot of grave doubts about the government's argument in the application of that statute. Do you think Americans, when they go to vote, that this will be top of mind? I know the economy is important. I know the border is important. But I think I was in California, and even in California, blue California, there's this sense that somehow the system has become, the legal system has become too politicized, even for Californians. I think that was a headline for me coming back from the trip. Is this something that will be in the minds of voters when they vote in November?
I do. I think it's going to be what I would call one of the overarching issues. I mean, this it provides this sense of what Americans think. They think government's the problem. It's not the solution anymore. But I still think it's hard for them to get away from the. I think the number one A is going to be border and the economy and their own lives. But part of this is going to be married to this notion that government is just too big, too overarching, too intrusive, too big of a problem, too weaponized, too politicized. And I think all that, that's the big umbrella that the two big issues fit under, inflation and your microeconomic situation that you are personally in is not as good as you want it to be, and the impacts from the border are not where they should be. And why is that? Well, because government is screwed up. And I think that's part of that's the overarching theme is government is screwed up.
The bigger it gets, the bigger the screw ups it's making. It's pretty remarkable now to watch. You were down at the border last week. I love the video footage. You were out almost being a war correspondent on the border, talking to illegals, talking to people on the border. It was a very powerful set of video. I know you know the border better than anyone. What was your big takeaway from this most recent time of engaging with, in some cases, some of the illegals coming across?
Yeah, two or three things I think that I took away is that that the rush is generally slowed. It's not we're not at 10,000 a day anymore. We're down to about 4,000 to 6,000 depending on the day, but it's moving. It's a moving target now. So, for instance, San Diego last week had one day they had over 2,000 illegal aliens come through their corridor, and even though it's down significantly, I mean, let's say Lukeville. So the day I was at Lukeville, they'd had, I think, 250 to 300. Then San Miguel on the reservation that I was at, they'd had probably 250 to 300. But it was it's a steady stream. It was a steady stream. While I was there, we were just there at that one particular location before we moved. It was about an hour, hour and a half. And we saw, two small groups, smaller groups coming, one of 25, 30 people, another one 12, 15. And they just, it's nonstop, John, I guess is the point. And so it just is a flow that keeps the agents off the line and having to still transport and process. But those places that I was at, John, until the Biden administration came in, if they had more than five people a day, it would be kind of a busy day.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, the border has literally been eviscerated by the policies. It's mind-numbing to think. There were reports, in fact, the reports are because President Zelensky said this publicly, but now that the aid package has gotten through, Mike Johnson built his Democratic coalition to push that through, there's a discussion of having a 10-year continuing Democratic funding of money from the United States to Ukraine. Zelensky talking about it openly at a news conference, I believe, in Ukraine this weekend. Your thoughts that the Biden administration has already moved to that after just getting the big pot of money they got?
I didn't know that we were trying to annex Ukraine as a 51st state.
The 51st state, right? Yep.
I mean, this is how absurd this has become. We've spent something like 42% of the money is actually gone on military, to go on target. The rest of it has gone to supply their pensions, their farm subsidies, their government operations. A significant portion of it has just gone to the wind. We have no idea where it went. Same with some of the material. I mean, I find it out. I thought the Democrat Republican coalition that Speaker Johnson put together, I thought they gave us an outrageous product a week or so ago. And I would just tell you, it takes amazing chutzpah on the part of President Zelensky to come back and say, "Oh, we're going to do this again for 10 years." What? What are you talking about?
It was a stunner. We had it up on Just the News, and people have been reacting to it all the day. Like, what is going on here? How much is enough? And you're right. But listen, since 2014, Ukraine has been the Democrats' primary focus, and it's whether it's Hunter Biden shaking money down from there or the State Department unleashing all of its aid and involvement there. It just seems like the Democrats have this fascination with Ukraine that may take years to understand the actual reasons why. Obviously, we're going to come back from the week off. Marjorie Taylor Greene, does she proceed with the motion to vacate, or do you think it gets tabled for realizing that there's more other things to be fighting for right now?
I think it gets tabled. I just don't think that you're seeing the critical mass, perhaps, that she would like to see. What I would say is there's a lot of discontent, and then some of us feel far deeper than discontent. I'm really, there's a lot of anger as well, and frustration. But I think that just mirrors what the American people feel. I mean, when you look at the American people, when I was out speaking places and going places last week, they're very frustrated. And people say, well, why do we vote for Republicans over Democrats when the Democrats are in there? They don't have to form coalitions with Republicans. They don't care. But Republicans, we don't do Republican things. We instead focus on this weird conglomeration that becomes a European-style coalition government. And we, instead of getting something that's conservative and Republican out of the House and just doing it over and over again, realizing that the Senate is not going to pass it, okay, but let's still keep fighting. But this surrender, I think that surrender is what has frustrated the American people and frustrated those of us in Congress. And that our leadership has essentially run the white flag up and said, we're content just to manage the decline instead of fighting to restore the country.
Yeah, it's very palpable. There's no doubt about it. And some of the people I've talked to in the base of the party say they're in disbelief. They literally just can't. They're like, Nancy Pelosi might have given us a more conservative agenda. There's just a lot of disbelief of how little the leadership, particularly under Mike Johnson. I think there was more progress earlier under Kevin McCarthy than there is now. The base really feels it. In fact, they've moved on to 2025. You can see they're putting their marbles in 2025 now. They don't seem to have much hope. Is that a likely scenario that not a lot more will get done in the House in terms of legislation? There'll probably be some great oversight like what you're doing, but the chance for any big deals on border spending doesn't seem like there's a whole lot in motion right now.
Right. So you got the farm bill coming, and about 86% of that will go to fund the SNAP program, which is food stamps. So that's a normal deal, but we're advocating that they break it up because, you know, SNAP is abused, obviously. You'll see the continued oversight that you mentioned. Yeah, you'll see that. Then there's some appropriations. What you're going to next see is the failure of the appropriations process, because here we are sitting in late April, early May, and they're asking us for our proposed amendments, which we will have those turned in by Wednesday. But John, what's going to happen is we still won't adhere to the law. We're still not going to get it done by June 30th. And so you're going to get a continuing resolution. They're going to punt this past, which is probably the right thing to do at this point, punt this past the election and the swearing in of Donald Trump, I hope, in January 20th, 2025. But the doggone thing is, John, this is what I've begged the speaker to do, and we're trying to set it up so my office will give him the option. He should be bringing a border security bill to the floor every day we're in session until we're out of session. Why is that? And force the vote. Force the Democrats to vote against border security every day. So the American people can see, yeah, there is a real distinction on border. Same thing on energy policy. You should do a lot of energy bills that would free up American energy. That's the types of things you should be doing over and over and over again, because the American people have to understand Congress is actually broken because the Democrats don't want to actually fix these problems. That's what I would say. But that's all if the speaker doesn't do that, all you're going to see is really the farm bill and a CR coming up.
Yeah, another CR. Almost unimaginable, but it seems like a real possibility again. Just mind-numbing. There is a lot of discussion in America today about how much we feel like the country is slipping away from us. The polling data, even in CNN, not even a CNN poll can mask the discontent with Joe Biden right now. The Republicans are winning on almost all the main issues, even with the lack of progress in the House. When you ask people who's got the better policy, better ideas, better solutions, the better common sense, the Republicans are winning Donald Trump all the way down. What is the key for Republicans to seal this deal, to take those numbers that are polling numbers, people that might be thinking of switching allegiances, and closing the deal with them between now and November?
Well, I still believe it's the main issues, just the kitchen table pocketbook issues that everybody worries about. I mean, John, gas is what, four and a half bucks a gallon in my district right now.
Crazy. Almost $4 in Virginia now, and that's one of the cheaper states, so it's moving.
Right, yeah, and I mean, think of it. I go with my wife. We go grocery shopping every time I'm in town. Eggs are up. It's still impossible to a hamburger. I think was $7.50 a pound, $8 a pound, something like that. You know, if you start looking at those things where people are making decisions. I took my wife out. We went to just a kind of a fast food place. $30. $30 for just to go to a fast food place for two of you, and we don't buy milkshakes and soda. That's just for the food. I mean, you start looking, John, and people, those economic issues people feel, and then you remind them what's going on in the border, and that's why I'm saying the speaker needs, in my opinion, you help craft the narrative and remind people that the Democrats don't want to fix these things, at the same time that we're showing them the government is weaponized against you. It doesn't matter really if you're right or left. The government is weaponized against you. And you're going to be in the crosshairs sooner or later unless we start ratcheting them back. So those are the issues I think that really resonate with the American people.
Yeah, no, you see it. The polling absolutely does. And if you're just out in the field for a day, you sense it when you start talking to everyday Americans. They're not buying any of the baloney that's being sold to them in the mainstream media or by the Democrats. And they feel that pain. It's pretty remarkable. I want to finish on a topic that you have been at the forefront of, on the Judiciary Committee, in other places as well. Starting last year, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I got the first document showing that, the Biden White House was the entity that told NARA to sic the FBI on Donald Trump in the classified documents case. Last week, some new documents were released by Judge Cannon that further show and actually wind back to a much earlier time frame. It actually starts in the April-May time frame of 2021. My document that I had gotten was in 2022. So almost the moment Joe Biden gets in, they're working with the Justice Department, and the Biden's White House Counsel's Office is working with the archives to try to push this Trump matter towards the Justice Department. And you look at it like, well, why is the Biden White House involved on a Trump White House matter? It's not their business to be involved in. From what we've learned from the documents, from what we now know, the role the White House counsel played there, and what we are also hearing that there's some contacts with the Georgia prosecutors. How troubling and how explosive will it be if we keep digging to know that Joe Biden was really the instigator behind these criminal cases?
Well, first of all, John, I want to give you kudos for publicizing that and getting that information out. This is explosive information. This gets to the whole notion of what we're talking about, and it is the abuse of power by the Biden administration and, quite frankly, by the Democrats against political opponents. That is so antithetical to America and what we stand for. And so it's incredibly damaging to, in my opinion, America, the American citizens' morale, and relationship with their government. We've now, and you throw this with the things like the Weaponization Committee's document with regard to the FBI and the financial institutions that came out in March. You start adding all of this up together, and you realize that every person is in jeopardy from their government now. Every person is in peril because their government is so weaponized that so you get NARA going after Trump, and Trump really is the bellwether here.
Yeah, he's the leading edge of this. There's no doubt.
Yeah, but it starts filtering down to all of us, so that you're a domestic terrorist if you shop at Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop or something like that. If you buy religious books, you might be a domestic terrorist. I mean, when you realize that the government is so weaponized that they will go after a former president, all the way down to this pro-life protester, or you realize then that we've lost so much. And that's the thing you and I have been talking about in this whole interview, is that the people in America today, they don't trust their government, and for good reason. And that's one of the big takeaways from the piece that you put out, is that there is a good reason for us not to trust government.
No. All the fears that our founding fathers had when they built the protections against the big government, they're being realized in this moment in history, perhaps any other than any other time in our great history. And you're right. It's palpable. It's a remarkable thing to see. Congressman, you always are on the cutting edge. You're always out there informing us. You're always out there meeting with real people. You're on the border. You're with your constituents. We learn so much from you. It's such a great honor to have you on the show today.
Thanks, John. Thanks. Keep up the good work, please.
We will indeed. Thank you, sir. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, the Attorney General of Louisiana, fresh off of her lawsuit, challenging President Biden's Title IX changes, those changes that are going to let men in women's bathrooms, men in women's locker rooms, men in women's sports, maybe punish children for using the wrong pronouns. We're going to get an update from Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merrill right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. As I mentioned at the top of the show, a very important lawsuit today filed by the state of Louisiana against the Biden administration trying to block the implementation of the Title IX regulatory changes, which will force women to undress and with biological men potentially in their locker rooms, will potentially punish students and parents for not using preferred pronouns. This is one of the big landmark cases that are going to almost certainly reach all the way to the Supreme Court. We're very lucky to be joined right now by the state attorney general from Louisiana who filed that lawsuit today, Liz Merle. Attorney General, good to have you with us.
Well, it's great to be with you.
A big moment, a big press conference. The governor's there. You're there. Louisiana making a statement. First state out to say, we are going to fight this. We're going to fight on behalf of women. That was a message, right?
Right. 100%. And Louisiana filed along with our Louisiana Department of Education, but we also filed with Idaho, Mississippi, and Montana's attorney general. So Idaho is Roel Labrador, a great fighter for liberty. Mississippi is Lynn Fitch, and she's been out front on this issue for a while now, and Montana, Austin Knudsen. So they are great people, great attorneys general, and I'm delighted that they're with us on this particular suit.
Yeah, there is a lot to unpack in the lawsuit, but the biggest argument is that Congress never gave the administration or the executive branch the authority to make these changes and to really work against the interest of women. So many women are against this, and it has such a already evidence of detrimental effects. Another example of the executive overreach of this administration?
Oh, it's, you know, it is not just overreach. I mean, I think this is overreach of a very very special variety. I mean, this is, it's just kind of stunning how, what a power grab this is. You know, I mean, in 400 pages of fine print, these people, administrators in Washington, D.C., have taken over basically the lawmaking authority, which completely violates separation of powers, and they are attempting to remake societal norms in America, you know, via our classrooms, our lunchrooms, our bathrooms, our locker rooms, and our whole school system. I mean, this rule eviscerates Title IX.
Yeah, it does. There's a moment in the press conference where you say that if this rule stands, it's going to gut the essence of what Title IX tried to set out to do, which was to level the playing field and create advancement and equal educational opportunity for women and girls. This really is an existential threat to the success of what Title IX brought so many women for the last five decades.
It absolutely is. And you know, we have seen incredible success in the 50 years that Title IX has been in place. I mean, all you have to do is look at all of the athletic opportunities in schools, and that's just, you know, one measure, but scholarships, another measure. I mean, all of those things really didn't exist for women, and that's part of what really it's a lot of what prompted Title IX. And now we are going, I mean, and I think that the administration basically tries to sidestep what they know is a huge political problem for them by not directly addressing its impact on athletics. But once you redefine gender and sex in this rule, it absolutely affects athletics. So they cannot get around that problem by saying we're going to follow up later with an athletics rule. That's just going to add insult to already existing injury.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you just think of the advances. I mean, we just went through March Madness, and the women's basketball tournament is just as popular and as well attended and watched on television as the men's. That's the sort of parity that Title IX gave this incredible country and the women in this country.
Yeah, and it's incredible. You know, we have two world champion teams here. I mean, national champion teams. The LSU girls basketball team won the national championship last year. They were in the Final Four this year. Love them. Love to go to their games. And our gymnastics team just won the national championship in gymnastics. I mean, these girls fought to get where they are. They have practiced and you know, been players, hard fighting to get these scholarships and be on these teams. I mean, their whole lives, basically. I mean, it's just a stunning assault on women. The rule also threatens action by the Federal Department of Justice if you criticize any of this. So it declares that it is harassment or it's discrimination for us to complain about it, which is a, you know, incredible assault on freedom of speech and free exercise of religion. I mean, people have a lot of, and you really don't have, this doesn't have to be a religious belief for you to believe that biology matters, especially when it comes to women and their most, and even and men in private spaces. It's incredibly uncomfortable to have to share a bathroom with someone of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Who you don't know, who is a complete stranger, and you cannot ask them. So as an administrator at a school, it violates this rule if anybody asks them why they're there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's
dangerous.
The very notion that a citizenry can contest debate and challenge their government is being eliminated by this, because literally the effort to question this is actually now defined as harassment. It's really pretty remarkable. There's a lot of steps in this process. Obviously, this is probably going to be a case that goes all the way to the Supreme Court. But the first step is to get a temporary injunction. Is that correct? Make sure this doesn't begin being enforced on August 1st. Is that correct?
Right. So the rule doesn't actually go into effect till August 1st. I'm glad you made that point. I mean, but look, schools are all going back into school in August, and it applies to elementary through higher ed. So you've got lots of people coming back on campus in colleges early to move into their dorms, to go through other processes even before classes start. We've got down here, I mean, schools start, the high schools and elementary schools may start as early as August 7th. That doesn't give people a lot of time to start the training and the educational and all of the adaptation to this rule. So while it technically doesn't take effect till August 1st, it's impossible to just start complying on August 1st. I mean, it's throwing everybody into a lot of state of confusion. We have told our superintendents and our school boards to ignore it entirely, because we will seek an injunction. And I believe that you know, we will be able, I believe, able to get an injunction. I've never seen a stronger case for an injunction because this is incredibly arbitrary and capricious, and it violates 50 years of their own rulemaking.
Yeah, it does.
And the statute, by the way.
Yeah, no, so many members of Congress pointing that out over the last few days as well. So there's a group you've done. Now, Texas, just a little bit ago, they filed, and also the Texas Governor Greg Abbott is giving the same advice to Texas schools that you just gave to Louisiana schools. There seems to be a red wall of opposition that's growing here. This will be a historic case. Now, while this is going on just today, just a few minutes ago, actually, the EEOC issued a new regulatory guidance to all businesses in America saying it is now elevating transgender identity to the same protections as racial and sexual discrimination, and that the misuse of an employee's pronoun, preferred pronoun, or preventing them from using the bathroom of their choice will now be considered a form of legal harassment under the EEOC's definition. So this war is not only in the education system, now about to be imposed on millions of businesses, all coordinated, I assume. What do you think the likely view of the courts are going to be on all of this movement by the Biden administration?
Well, you know, the employment sector is very much affected by the Bostock opinion that came out of the United States Supreme Court. And so I think that
2020, right?
The rule is going to probably have to work its way up. But, you know, I do think that there are huge problems with these rules that basically you would consider to be a gag on an individual's ability to speak and what they believe. And treat that as harassment. You know, interestingly, in the world of employment litigation and harassment, sexual harassment, that it's a very, and under ordinary circumstances, setting aside the whole gender ideology movement, it takes more than just an offhand comment or telling somebody, you know, well, I believe in biological gender, so, you know, I just can't do what you ask me to do. I mean, that's not something under ordinary litigation standards in the jurisprudence that would constitute harassment. It would take something much, much more pernicious and pervasive to constitute harassment. So they are absolutely creating a very different kind of standard. And that standard in the EEOC rule that you just saw is basically the same one that they just published in this rule in the Title IX.
Oh, yeah. The parallels are just right over each other. There's no doubt about it. They're overlays of the same arguments.
It's very threatening. You know, I mean, it's very chilling of speech. It is, you know, forcing this ideology down on people with an extremely heavy-handed threat of the government's authority to come in and investigate you, fine you, you know, force you into this Kafka-esque kind of, you know, place that you can never get out of in federal administrative hell.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it's criminalizing things that used to be protected by free speech, expression of religion and faith.
And it can bankrupt you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it can bankrupt a business. So, I mean, they have a very heavy hand. I don't, you know, it's not an ineffective threat. I mean, that's why, you know, most people want to comply with the law, but they've really weaponized it in a way that is unsustainable.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And so many Americans, you had parents alongside you today. There's educators that are speaking out against this, athletes like Riley Gaines and others speaking out against it because they understand the America that we've known, or the education system that we've been able to make better, is going to be negatively affected. How important is it that there's so much grassroots supports in America for what you're doing and against what the president's trying to impose?
Look, I think it's really important. And probably the most important reason why is because what this rule tries to do is silence us. It tries to silence women and prevent them from being able to stand up for themselves. And I think that, you know, the more of us who stand up and say, this is wrong, you know, this emperor has no clothes. I mean, I think that we have to be able to stand up and say that. But the threat to coaches, to players, to administrators, to professors, to teachers at the high school and elementary level, to students, I mean, it is real. And I think that, you know, I've had conversations with a number of people, and they are very happy that I'm leading this fight and that the other attorney generals are leading this fight, because there are real threats to them if they act or if they speak out and if they oppose it. And so I think that the more of us who do step up and speak out, the more we will create a significant basis in which they too feel like they can step out and not have the kind of blowback and retaliation that is created and encouraged by and facilitated by this rule.
Yeah, no, it is remarkable. It's hard to believe you've only been in office 100 days, but you've done so much already. And I think when people look at what you and the other attorneys general are now doing, they really see the brilliance of states' rights. I think our founding fathers realized that when the big government got big and full of itself, that it would be the states and their ability to challenge it. That would be the ultimate counterbalance and repair. And it seems like that's been happening. So many rulings in the last year or two where the courts have overturned overreach. This is a pretty important moment in history. Do voters, those who just put you in office and those who are going to vote in the November election, is there a growth of the tiredness and weariness of big government right now?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think that, you know, I think COVID stoked a lot of that when a lot of people became aware of how the government can live inside your home. We had some school cases here where a child was expelled when a BB gun fell over on a Zoom class, and he was expelled for bringing a gun to school. And, you know, we, through me and the Attorney General, Jeff Landry, then defended in that case. And we said, you know, this violates all kinds of rights, state and federal. And you know, the school sent somebody to the table in the legislature and they said, if we have a camera in the room, then we consider it school property. That's how invasive I think the bureaucracy and the administration can become. That was state level people. But the federal government is that on steroids. I mean, and I think that people are very weary of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. One last question, because you're leading also on election integrity. Not that long ago, a 36-count grand jury indictment against an alderman for election fraud sends a very big deterrent message, does it? That if there's any funny business, you're going to go to prison.
No, that's right. I mean, it's, you know, this was fraud, and I think that, you know, we'll continue to fight election fraud. We have an important election coming up, and people need to have confidence in the integrity of our election. So I think that means they've got to know that if they violate the law, then there will be consequences.
Nah, no doubt about it. Attorney General Merrill, it's such an honor to have you on a very big day. All of social media is talking about this lawsuit. I was just looking at the trendings, people on the Just the News as well talking about it. Great to have you on today. Thank you for giving us such a great update.
It's my privilege. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Andy Biggs and to Liz Merrill, two newsbreakers and newsmakers on the top of this week, Monday morning, or Monday this week, kicking off the show with some really important news. I love the analogy that Andy Biggs gave us, that Democrats seem to be treating Ukraine as the 51st state. They want to annex it and put it on a federal funding program like California. That's what Congressman Biggs said today. Don't forget, that was a pretty important line. All right. Also, I want to shout out one more time my good friends at the Wellness Company. If you want to get one of their emergency medikits with ivermectin and Z-Pak and other antibiotics so that you're ready when an emergency hits, you don't have to wait. Don't have to wait in line. Don't have to wait to get the doctor. Don't have to worry about drug shortages, which are becoming more and more prominent. Go to www.twc.health/justnews. www.twchealth/justnews. Use the promo code justnews at that URL, and you'll get 10% off your purchase of an emergency kit. They got a lot of good ones. Dr. McCullough and others have talked about it here on the show. Antivirals, antibiotics, antiparasitics, emergency medicines. You got it on hand. You got the instructions. You're going to get reviewed by a doctor. You're going to have a licensed pharmacist. This is gold standard stuff, but it's also transformative, groundbreaking new ways of doing medicine. The Wellness Company at the forefront of that big transition, that big transformation. One more time, www.twc.health/justnews, and then use the promo code justnews. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday, with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you and have a great evening. Hey, folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully, you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health, or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.